Do you dread going to the dentist? I did until I found Beaumont Family Dentistry. With three convenient locations in Hamburg, Leestown Road, and the Beaumont area, they can take care of all your dental needs at Beaumont Family Dentistry. This month, if you schedule your new patient cleaning appointment, you will receive a free take-home whitening kit at your initial visit. So call Beaumont Family Dentistry today at 223-2120 or check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com.
Congratulations to McGee's Bakery, celebrating their 60th anniversary. Family-owned since 1956, everyone knows that McGee's Bakery is a great place to start your day. However, did you know that McGee's also serves lunch? You can enjoy great sandwiches and homemade soups. Also, for the heartier appetite, enjoy one of McGee's delicious burgers. Schedule your next lunch meeting at McGee's, located on the corner of South Ashland and Main Street. Make sure to tell them you heard about them on 1250 Sports Talk.
The following program is sponsored by Horn Marketing and Consulting.
It's time now for Sports Talk, and here's your Sports Talk host, Greg Horn, here on AM 1250 WLRT.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk. It's a March Madness edition, as we've got men's and women's basketball getting plays going today. UK's women had a big game, and we're going to be talking about that. But first, we want to thank our sponsor today, Asbury University. Did you know that Asbury offers scholarships in 21 intercollegiate sports? Just down the road, kind of a hidden treasure, about 20 minutes from Lexington in Wilmore, Kentucky. To find out about all the athletic programs they offer at Asbury University, check them out online at www.asburyeagles.com. In our second segment, we'll be talking with SEC basketball analyst Tony Delf, 1996 NCAA champion Kentucky Wildcat. Also, Mr. Tony Delk is, so we're going to be talking to him about his thoughts on the Cats game tonight and what it will take for them to make a run to cut down the nets and so they can become the 2017 NCAA champions. But Action Jackson Reigns, I don't know about you, before we get to this UK hoops game, my bracket is busted.
I wouldn't say my bracket is busted, but at this point, I've definitely busted all of the 8-9 games. I am 0-3 on picking the 8-9 games in this year's NCAA tournament. Had Seton Hall defeating Arkansas. That didn't happen. Had Vanderbilt defeating Northwestern, which we'll get to because that game has to be talked about. But that didn't happen. And then I went back and forth on Wisconsin, Virginia Tech. I put down Wisconsin, took it back, put down Virginia Tech, and because Virginia Tech was the last one I went with, that's what I stuck with, and that didn't happen. So I'm 0-3 in the 8-9 games, and so far I'm perfect everywhere else in the tournament.
Well, congratulations to you. Vanderbilt got me. No, that's an 8-9. I did have the Virginia Tech one right. The other one that got me was that Seton Hall, Arkansas. Xavier last night with Maryland. I should have known Xavier always plays well in the NCAA tournament, but just thought Maryland would get them because Xavier struggled some near the tail end of the year. So anyway, I'm not doing quite as well as you, but a lot of fun. Unfortunately, one of our people listening to our show regular, Tanya Hamm, she put in a bracket and she clicked on and said, "Hey, I am still, you know, perfect. I've not missed any games." And as we pulled it up, we found out that unfortunately, she had not registered correctly. She had hit last year's bracket, which is easy to understand because it just said 1250 Sports Talk. So this year's 1250 Sports Talk 2017. So unfortunately for Miss Tanya, she's not going to be eligible. But at least personally, she knows that she's still undefeated.
Yeah. It's been an interesting tournament so far. So far, out of the 21 games that have been completed, only two had seed upsets, which is where the higher number seed defeated the lower number seed. That was number 11 Xavier and number 12 MTSU. So it's been very much chalk so far, and right now we've got a good one. 6 seed SMU, 11 seed Southern California, a minute 10 left in that game. It's on True TV. SMU with a 65-63 lead, and Southern California has the ball.
Well, the SEC could be 3-0 except for a boneheaded play yesterday late in the game by Vanderbilt's guard.
Yeah, I mean, we've got definitely got to get to that, and so talking about Vanderbilt. They had trailed by as many as 15, I believe, to Northwestern. Finally got things going in the second half. They took a lead late for the first time all game. And then with 15 seconds left, they had a one-point lead after Riley LeChance went and had a layup to take a lead late. And then just inexplicably, Matthew Fisher Davis had no idea what the score was, which he admitted after the game. He saw his coach point to the guy he was guarding. Bryce Drew probably meant to guard that man. Matthew Fisher Davis thought he meant to foul him. So with a one-point lead and 15 seconds left, Vanderbilt commits a foul, puts the Big Ten's third-best free throw shooter in the entire conference on the line. Kid hits both free throws, and Northwestern goes on to beat Vanderbilt. And after Arkansas beat Seton Hall today, Florida won yesterday, like you said, the SEC would be 3-0 right now, and just looking for their best team, Kentucky, to play tonight, and then a South Carolina squad who I'm still not convinced will win their first round game, playing a little bit later.
All right, well, let's move on to local action here. The UK women's team, they had opening round game against Belmont today. It was a lunchtime special. Saw Jen Smith, the Herald Leader, on Twitter, said it just seems a little early to play basketball, but they did tip it off, and Belmont was 27-5 coming into this game. And even though they play in the OVC, which is obviously not the level of the SEC, those girls came to play today.
Yeah, it was a pesky Belmont team. Kentucky ends up getting the win 73-70 over the 13 seed. Kentucky actually led that game twice by at least 12 points, and both times Belmont just able to respond. They showed their resiliency. After the first quarter, Kentucky had a 10-point lead. Belmont came back and took the lead by one before halftime. Then Kentucky opened the third quarter with a 13-0 lead, and Belmont answered in that quarter with a 10-2 run of their own. So the game just went down to the wire. With a minute 30 left, Kentucky was ahead by 7 points, 66-59. But over that last minute and 30 seconds, Belmont outscored the Wildcats 11-7, and Macy Morris came through in the clutch, hitting 4 free throws in the last 10 seconds to seal the victory for Kentucky. And luckily, they get the win. At this time of year, it's all about survive and advance, Greg, and that's exactly what they did.
Well, both teams really shot well from the three-point range, and Kentucky at this point, you know, you just want to get the win, but they shot 47%, but Belmont was right behind them there at 45% from three-point range. But as usual, if the Cats are going to win, whether it was regular season or in the postseason, the two seniors got to lead the way, and they did.
They absolutely did. Michaela Epps led the way with 30 points and 5 rebounds. She was 11 of 18 from the field, started 5 of 5 from the 3-point line, ended up missing her last 3 to finish 5 of 8 for 3. And then Evelyn Akator with 22 points and 10 rebounds. Macy Morris, the sophomore, added in 15 points, 3 rebounds, and 4 assists. And so between those 3 players, Kentucky got 67 of its 73 total points. And those 3 girls really willed Kentucky to victory today.
Well, Evelyn Akator, that made her 17th double-double of the year, 30th of her career. So, you know, if she can get double-doubles, man, I feel good about our chances of winning.
I think you have to. I mean, they've really relied on those seniors all year. It's yet to hurt them. You do have those games where they might not show up, but I think this time of year, when they know that their entire careers at Kentucky could end in any game, they're really going to be pushing, and I don't expect them to have anything less than stellar nights each time they go out on the basketball floor, even if they lose. I have a feeling Epps and Akator will keep Kentucky in it, and it just really shows the motion that those two bring, the leadership that they bring, and how important they really have been to this team all year long, even though they lost all of those players in the offseason. These two girls have just led Kentucky the whole year.
So they have done a great job, and they get to continue on. The best news is they get to play another game in Memorial Coliseum, as they'll be playing Ohio State, who had a close game with the 12th seed Western Kentucky University Hilltoppers. But the fifth seed Ohio State Buckeyes get the 7-point win, 70-63. We don't know the time yet. That's when they'll play on Sunday. You have to wait to see how the other games play out. But regardless, Kentucky gets to play for another day. And then the best news is if they win that game, Jackson Reams, they get to play in Lexington again.
It sets up perfectly. They definitely want to take care of Ohio State on Sunday. That's a dangerous Ohio State team. They're led by junior guard Kelsey Mitchell, who averages 23 points a game. So she is the big-time threat from Ohio State. And I would guess Taylor Murray may draw her as the defensive-minded player to try to shut her down. And we'll see what they're able to do. Greg, this Southern California SMU game just went final. Southern California with the 66-65 upset victory. That gives us our third upset win based on seeding of the tournament. Southern Cal hit a late three. SMU had free throws to go back up, and the kid missed the front end of a 1-1, and Southern Cal was then able to come away with a victory after the SMU shot did not go in at the buzzer.
Well, at this rate, I may be in the bottom of our bracket because I thought SMU would win a couple games. I didn't have them farther going any farther than that, but they just really had a phenomenal year, and USC, of course, doing the play-in game. So, oh, my goodness. That's what makes it March Madness, baby.
It definitely does. And we haven't seen a lot of this, so I'm glad to finally get a little bit of drama going on. It was so boring with all the chalk advancing up to this point that I'm ready for some craziness to happen tonight, especially after we get off air here and we'll be able to start watching games again. Just not in that game later tonight with Kentucky.
Exactly. And that's not going to be till about 9:30, 9:45, just around that. So I'm going to drink lots of caffeine at my dinner so I can stay awake. Action, Jackson Reams, Cats, 19-point favored, give or take a half point there. So, but obviously the boys from Northern Kentucky are excited because they get to play the big blue nation down the road in Lexington, Kentucky. So really cool, though. Lots of Kentucky players on that Northern Kentucky University team. We'll be talking more about that in our third segment. But coming up next, we're going to be talking with SEC basketball analyst and 1996 NCAA champion and most valuable player of the Final Four, Tony Delk. Next on Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
Nice shot, Jim.
Hey, thanks. You know, it's great to be out here and not at the shop.
Yeah, must be all that Action Coach business coaching.
Well, laugh if you want, but our revenues are up, and I'm working smarter on each of the six steps to a better business.
Instead of harder, like some people I know.
I don't know what Action Coach can tell me about my business. We had a record year last year.
Hey, look, every great athlete has a coach, even the world's best golfer, who had a record year last year, too.
Good point.
Now, listen. I've learned more about business in the last 3 months from my Action Coach than I ever have. I've also learned something else.
Yeah, what's that?
The best tee times are during the middle of the week.
Your local Action Coach in Central Kentucky is Andrew Van Horn. Contact Andrew at 859-940-5517. That's Andrew Van Horn at 859-940-5517. You deserve to have your own coach, too. Call Action Coach Andrew Van Horn today.
Flowers are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life. Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by J.J.B. Hilliard, W.L. Lyons, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jackson Rings with you on a March Madness Friday. I want to thank Asbury University for being our sponsor of the day. They offer scholarships in 17 intercollegiate sports. To find out more about all the athletic programs they have to offer, check them out online at AsburyEagles.com. Well, join us on the phone line now is SEC basketball analyst and 1996 NCAA champion and Final Four MVP, Mr. Tony Delk. And Tony, I want to hope that your NCAA bracket is looking a lot better than mine is.
Still looking pretty good. I still have quite a few teams still playing or will be playing the next couple of days, but a lot of it is this year. I think we're seeing there's not many major upsets like it has been in the past, so as much parity as there has been throughout the course of the season, the better teams and higher seeds are winning.
Well, yesterday, obviously, a really tough loss for Vanderbilt and for their outstanding guard, Fisher Davis, just a really, really tough break there at the end of the game. And I know you played in a lot of, you know, stressful games like that, and sometimes things like that just happen, don't they?
Yeah, I thought it was miscommunication with him and Coach Bryce Drew when he turned around and kind of maybe gestured, maybe make a foul, and I think those two guys were not on the same page, and I think he was probably telling them to get down the floor and, you know, just play good defense. And I think Matthew Fisher Davis, he really thought they were down, you know, and in the heat of the battle, he's still a young kid, and pressure impact game where every possession matters, good defense matters, not turn the ball over, and just be staying focused. I mean, that's the hardest thing that players sometimes in with a short amount of time left, decision-making. But also, you know, you have to give Matthew Fisher Davis a lot of credit. They were down a lot of points, and if he don't score 14 in the second half, and he was the only player that hit that 20-point mark, they wouldn't have been in the game anyway. So, I mean, that one play doesn't define how well Vanderbilt played yesterday and how well Fisher Davis played in that game.
Tony, this is Jackson, and I know it's easy for a lot of us from the outside looking in to say, how do you not know the situation right there? I know I said that yesterday, but you played. So how easy is it to maybe lose focus for a second, not realize where your team has been in this huge comeback, and not know at the end of a big-time game like that what the score is?
Trust me, it has happened to every player on every level of any sport, any profession, football, baseball, hockey. I mean, every once in a while, you know, when you played in hundreds and maybe thousands of games, is that you do sometimes forget time and score, and even coming out of a timeout, you know, you might be so locked into that play, and you might look in the crowd, you might see something, and you might forget where you need to be on that particular offensive set that the coach has just drawn up probably 10 seconds ago on the court. So it happens. You know, it's part of basketball, but you know, it's tough for that kid because I thought Vanderbilt, if they had won, they probably would have been able to maybe get to another game or two, maybe the next weekend, and, you know, had a really good season, finished stronger than some of the teams in our conference. But, you know, I think it's a learning point for Coach Drew and also a teaching point for Matthew Fisher Davis, you know, coming back next season is that, you know, he will remember that play. And so will the other guys. Because I also thought at that juncture of the game that Riley LeChance just drove to the basket, made a nice layup, and he takes a 25-foot home run 3-point shot, which I thought he should have put the ball on the floor, maybe drive to the basket, see if he can get another layup. Because at that time in the game, guys are scared to foul. So when you drive to the basket, everybody they're not going to come over and hit you. And plus, they didn't have a shot blocker there either.
Well, and another thing I think totally a factor in, too, Vanderbilt was out of timeouts. So, you know, they were going without a timeout there, I think, in the last 2 minutes of the game. So that, as you talked about, the communication thing. So, as you said, unfortunately, just one of those things that happens. But overall, the SEC, I mean, obviously Vanderbilt almost got that game. Of course, 4-1. And, you know, you look at the SEC as – is in Arkansas with a big comeback win over Seton Hall. So SEC at least off to a good start.
Yes, we are. I mean, I think a conference that didn't get a lot of respect because at the top of the food chain, it was Kentucky pretty much all year, and Florida came on, you know, the second half as well. And Arkansas got hot at the right time. This is where you want to be playing your best basketball. So regardless of how you play early in the season, whether it's non-conference, and when you get into conference play, those teams know your plays, they know players, they know coaches, and things kind of balance themselves out. But once you get to the NCAA tournament, those teams only know you by film. And film can't simulate how quick a guy is, how tall a guy is, how quick a guy is off the floor, how good a shooter a guy is. So those are things you can't simulate. You can watch all the film you want, but when you really haven't seen the team play, you don't know how good they are. So it's kind of like going into a situation where you know them and they know you, but really – from the meat of it, you don't really know each other that well.
Just tuned in, we're talking with SEC basketball analyst, 1996 NCAA champion and Final Four MVP, Tony Dell.
Tony, before we move to Kentucky's game tonight and getting things started, I want to ask you just about South Carolina. You know, they really tailed off to end the season. They do get a 7-10 matchup against the 19-12 Marquette team, but that Marquette team has beaten Villanova. I think they might have beaten Butler this year. They've been a pretty good team. It's on at 9:50 p.m. What are your expectations for the Gamecocks as they try to turn around what has been just a really rough ending to their season?
Well, they have to come out and definitely guard them from the three-point line. Marquette is one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country and have a player by the name of Mark Howard, a freshman, that leads the nation in three-point percentage, shooting 54%. So it's a team that you have to guard at the three-point line. They have five players averaging double figures. As a team, they average 82 points. They're a very unselfish team, well-coached. Wojo was there. They drive and kick to their shooters. So South Carolina got to make sure that they arrive on the catch to these three-point shooters, try to chase them off the line, and also when they chase them off the line, they have to play defense without fouling. And South Carolina got to score some points, you know, and they can't rely so much on Sendarius Stonewell. I think P.J. Dozier has to have a pretty good – P.J. Dozier has to play better than he's played the last 10 games. Dwayne Notes, who had 0 points last game, he has to step up as a senior and score. And then Chris Silva on the inside, those are the four players that they're going to rely on offensively. But defensively, they have to be physical with these shooters. But, you know, it's going to be predicated on how the referees call the game early. And that will tell how physical they can be.
All right, Tony, that moves us to the final SEC team, your Kentucky Wildcats, and they open up as a 2 seed against the 15th seed, Northern Kentucky. Northern Kentucky out of the Horizon League, 12-6 conference record, won their conference championship, got the automatic bid. Obviously, Kentucky, you know, a heavy favorite, 19 points, give or take a half point, but you got a lot of freshmen for Kentucky. Talk what it's like playing in the NCAA tournament for the first time. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember the first time, and I was scared to death. I was nervous, you know, and I wasn't playing as much as these guys right now. These guys have a lot of minutes under their belt. They played in big games, so to them, it wouldn't affect them as much as it would a player like myself who didn't play as much as a freshman. So these guys, they're going to be ready for the moment. Hawkins and Willis, having two seniors on your team, and then Briscoe, who was able to play in a tournament game, it gives them some experience that they need. And also, you know, Coach Howell will have them prepare for this North Kentucky team that has won 9 out of 10 games, won the Horizon League. So it's a good quality mid-major team, but it's a team that you can't underestimate.
looking at that game, I think once you get down to it, as long as Kentucky handles their business, it should be a game that they win going away tonight, and then they would face the winner of Dayton-Wichita State. A lot of people really like Wichita State in that game, but I don't think you can necessarily write off Dayton. Do you think Kentucky has any issues if they were to make it past Northern Kentucky with their next round matchup, whoever that may be?
Well, it's going to be tough. I mean, Archie Miller, you know, he's a really good coach for Dayton, and they've gone deep, you know, deep in the NCAA tournament. I think when you're getting to the Elite Eight, well coached team, mid major team from a respectable conference. The A-10 is a really good conference, and then Wichita State. I mean, you know, what can you say about them? I mean, they've been good for about the last 5 or 6 years. You know, they're coming in on the 15-game winning streak, so. A team that relies heavily on the 5 starters, but they get great bench production. I think they get about 34 points off the bench. So either one of those teams going to be a really good matchup. And when you have juniors and seniors and players who've been in your program, you know, they understand what it takes to be really good. But also, you know, they're not going to be scared because, you know, you're not going against with Dayton or Wichita State. You don't have a lot of freshmen that are going to be playing. You know, you're going to have juniors and seniors. Players with experience, players who played in tournament games. And so that's where those teams, you know, are not going to be afraid to play against Kentucky because they've been there before. And the coaches have been there before.
All right, Tony. Well, it's hard to believe because we've been talking about it here the past couple of months, about every other week, but it's only a month to 4 weeks from this weekend that your own tournament's going to be going, starting off here in Lexington at Kentucky Basketball Academy. Share with our audience a little bit about what that's about.
Yeah, we're doing an AAU event April 14th through the 16th, and it's the cost is $175. Looking for our kids from the ages of 10 to 14, which should be somewhere between second grade to eighth grade kids. Quality teams we're looking for, and also a quality program. And we just want to be able to see these kids and kind of help in their development, but also get them prepared for some other tournaments that they will be participating in during the summer. So we're still open for signings, and, we're looking forward to just getting more and more people involved, and as well as sponsorship, and just something I want to do and as an annual event and get back to the community and the city of Lexington.
Well, we really appreciate you doing that, investing in young people, and especially means a lot coming from somebody that's had the success that you have. So we appreciate you doing it. If people are listening, we have people listen to this podcast. This is live, of course, but our podcast is played in, I know, at least 7 different states. People listen to it regularly. What would be the best way for people to find out information about this tournament, Tony?
www.tonydelk.com is the best way to find out about the teams, the sponsorship, as well as the price and the date and the time. So, and it will be at KBA, Kentucky Basketball Academy, and we look forward to having good parents along with great teams and kids to come with the best attitude possible.
All right. Well, man, thanks so much for your time. I know it's a busy time of year for you, but we appreciate you joining us, and good luck with your bracket this weekend.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Tony. That's Tony Delk, outstanding player at Kentucky, 1996 NCAA champion and most valuable player, played several years in the NBA, and also now currently an SEC basketball analyst, does a really good job. So you'll probably be seeing him some this weekend on the SEC Network. We got to take a break. When we get back, lots more basketball to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about those Northern Kentucky Norse and the Kentucky Wildcats as they kick off their March Madness tonight at 9:50. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.
BurgerFi, natural and proud of it. Our beef, it's beef. No hormones, no antibiotics, just 100% certified Angus. You know, the way nature intended. We really get cooking with other chef-driven favorites, made from scratch daily, like our crispy fries and double-battered onion rings, hand-cut and served with house-made sauces, fresh farm veggies, and gourmet toppings, all with local craft beer and wine. But we don't stop at honest food. We're proud to commit to eco-friendly practices that improve every neighborhood we call home.
BurgerFi, 141 Rojay Drive, right next to Moe's and the Fayette Mall movie theaters.
Hi, I'm Greg Horn with Sports Talk. Are you a basketball junkie like I am and looking for a great place to watch college basketball? Look no further. Shamrock's Bar and Grill is the place to be to enjoy great food, and they've got lots of TVs to help you watch your favorite college basketball and NBA team. Locally owned, Shamrock's Bar and Grill has two locations, on Patchen Drive and in the Heartland Shopping Center. Hope to see you soon at Shamrock's Bar and Grill.
Congratulations to McGee's Bakery, celebrating their 60th anniversary. Family-owned since 1956, everyone knows that McGee's Bakery is a great place to start your day. However, did you know that McGee's also serves lunch? You can enjoy great sandwiches and homemade soups. Also, for the heartier appetite, enjoy one of McGee's delicious burgers. Schedule your next lunch meeting at McGee's, located on the corner of South Ashland and Main Street. Make sure to tell them you heard about them on 1250 Sports Talk.
Did you know that Asbury University offers online degrees? We know that today's professionals are really busy and don't have time to drive every week to attend classes on campus, so we've made it easy for you to get your degree by going online and taking your classes. If you'd like to finish a degree with classes that fit your schedule, email Josh. You'll probably want to meet with you for coffee at josh@asbury.edu.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn action. Jackson Reams with you. March Madness in full swing. I want to thank Asbury University for being our sponsor today. They offer scholarships and 17 intercollegiate sports there at Asbury University. Just down the road, about 20 minutes from Lexington in Wilmore, Kentucky, a great academic school. And if you want to find out more about the athletics that the programs that they offer there, check them out online at AsburyEagles.com. I also want to remind you, if you ever miss any of our 1250 Sports Talk shows, you can always catch our podcast. Jackson Reams does a great job with those, has those up usually about 6:15, 6:20 p.m. You can find those on our website at 1250sportstalk.com. Or the easiest way is just to follow us on Twitter or Facebook. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter simply at 1250 Sports Talk, and just catch our interview with SEC basketball analyst and 1996 NCAA champion and most valuable player of that tournament, Tony Delk, who we just talked with, getting his thoughts on the NCAA tournament, the SEC teams, and especially our Kentucky Wildcats. And speaking of that, Jackson Reams, we finally get to see the Cats tip it off tonight. Cats are a 20-point favorite to win tonight against Northern Kentucky University, but Northern Kentucky University's had a nice year.
Well, most of us get to watch this game. I don't know how much of it you'll see. I mean, it's a 9:40 tip. That's pretty late for you, Greg. But we'll have to see how long you can make it.
First half, baby. I'll make the first half.
Well, hopefully that's all you need to watch, right? Northern Kentucky comes into this game 24-10 on the season. They have won, let's see, 6 in a row, 10 of their last 11, and 12 of their last 14. They played in the Horizon League, which they just won that tournament. They went 12-6 during the season, got themselves in a two-way tie for third place, and have only played two Power 5 teams this season. They lost 79-64 at Illinois and 92-61 at West Virginia, who was then ranked 11th in the country. Coming into this game, Northern Kentucky, the Norse have been all about, we can't think about who we're playing, we can't think about the tradition we're playing. But Greg, it's a little tough to do that when five of your players on your roster are from the state of Kentucky, and four of those guys are major contributors. So they come in with a lot of Kentucky talent. I saw a couple of Indiana kids, a couple of Ohio kids. So they're a very regional team, and we'll have to see how much they can put up with Kentucky tonight. Some of these 16s and 15s have been getting off to quick starts compared to their higher-seeded counterparts starting off slow. Hopefully that doesn't happen to the Wildcats again, but we have seen that be a problem for this Kentucky team recently.
Well, you know, in any situation like this, when you're playing a team, it's a 20-point underdog. No keys to Kentucky getting off to a great start, not letting them have any confidence at all. That starts on the defensive end, so the Cats have to turn up the defensive intensity. Obviously, they have a huge size advantage. Athletically, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, don't think that Northern Kentucky can keep up with those guys. But if you don't come to play, you know, let teams hang around, anything can happen.
Well, excuse me. It's the NCAA tournament. You know, nobody wants to end their season in their first game, so no one's just going to come in and lay down for you. I think that's something that these young guys are going to have to remember when they're out there. And you talked about that, just like their defense, Kentucky having to get the defense up. Talked about the athletic and the size advantage Kentucky has. Northern Kentucky actually doesn't have a player over 6'7". They have 3 6'7" players, but no one taller than that. Kentucky has 6 guys who are all taller than 6'7". None of those guys are just 6'7". So definitely a size advantage for Kentucky. And the good news is they've been playing good defense. In their last 11 games, which is the winning streak they're on right now, they've held opponents to under 40% field goals 6 of 11 times, just 28.5% from the three-point line, which we know can be the ultimate equalizer, and have held opponents to 102 assists compared to 134 turnovers. So Kentucky's been playing good defense. Coach Cal said after the SEC tournament that defense is going to be the key to this entire team. You couple that in with the energy you were talking about bringing, and I don't think Kentucky should have any problem tonight.
I don't think so either. I mean, I think the guys will be excited to play in their first NCAA tournament, the freshmen. And then for the seniors, it's the last go-around for them. And as Derek Willis and Dominic Hawkins had read, you know, in the pregame interviews that they did with this, said, you know, we know these guys are going to be fired up because, you said, there's a lot of Kentucky flavor, Kentucky homeboys, for lack of a better term, on the north. So I think Kentucky will get it done, too. But defense and coming out with great energy at the beginning, as Coach Cal said, I think is huge. Unfortunately, sometimes, you know, just like Matthew Fisher Davis did not make a wise decision, Isaac Humphries with not a wise statement that he released prior to this game tonight.
Really interesting thing that went on here. Joe Masato of SEC Country apparently asked Isaac Humphries just about his season in general and what his thoughts were. And Isaac seemed to be very down on himself. He said, "I thought I would have been more confident this season. I thought I'd look more confident. And I just don't know what happened." And then he went on to say, you know, right now the tournament is all about your team and about Kentucky. I'm going to focus on that. But after it gets done, and this is a quote, he said he needs to weigh his options when he's deciding on his future. Maybe not something that should be too surprising, just because I've heard that Australian pro scouts have been in practices at UK all year long, and so I'm sure they've probably been scouting Isaac Humphries at that time. But it is an interesting time, like you said, to bring it up. He was not directly asked, "What is your future after this tournament?" He brought it up of his own accord, and then to hear this, I guess, uncertainty with Isaac going forward probably surprises a lot of people, including myself. I didn't think there was any way Isaac Humphries would be leaving Kentucky. Very clearly, he is the number two big man on this roster, you know, coming in to relieve Bam Adebayo of time. Although I would say that, you know, at this point, Bam's not going to be sitting on the bench a lot. But I think Isaac doesn't need to get on himself too much for having a down season. Take that as some reason to come back to Kentucky and prove yourself next season in your junior year. I think he's a guy who definitely could blossom at Kentucky. He's shown he can shoot the ball, and he still has some work to do, but I'm surprised that he's talking about possibly leaving after the season's over.
Well, I said this earlier in the week. I don't remember what day it was. I have to go back and listen to the podcast. But I said that Isaac Humphries, I really felt like Coach Cal has not done a good job with him. And no coach is perfect, and Cal's amazing. I love Coach Cal. He's a great coach, so I want to make sure I get that on the record. But Scalabissiere, we talked about that. Don't think he played him well. Tried to play him on the paint, down on the block. He couldn't do that. He was a 4. That didn't work out well. But the Humphries thing, he hooks him way too early. Anytime he makes a mistake, he pulls him. And the reason he's not playing with any confidence is because of John Calipari, in my opinion. I understand what Cal's trying to do, but – the kid looks defeated, and you can't play. Some guys respond to that. Okay, I make a mistake, so I've got to be focused. Other guys play, you know, hesitant because they know if they make a mistake, they're getting hooked. So we can talk more about that in our last segment. But I like Isaac Humphries, but I think it's been a rough year for him. Stay with us. We get back. Lots more March Madness to talk about. Action Jackson Ring. Yours truly, Greg Horn, with you on Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.
Do you dread going to the dentist? I did until I found Beaumont Family Dentistry. With three convenient locations in Hamburg, Leestown Road, and the Beaumont area, they can take care of all your dental needs at Beaumont Family Dentistry. This month, if you schedule your new patient cleaning appointment, you will receive a free take-home whitening kit at your initial visit. So call Beaumont Family Dentistry today at 223-2120 or check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by JJB Hilliard, WL Lyons, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
And now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Greg Horn, Action Jackson Rings here with you on a March Madness Friday. I want to thank Asbury University for being our sponsor of the day. Great academics there. Also really built some strong athletics programs that offer scholarships now in 17 different sports. To find out more about their athletic program, check them out online at AsburyEagles.com. Unfortunately, the Georgetown Tigers season ended today. Georgetown College, down there at Georgetown, Kentucky, playing in their national tournament. They lost today in their second game, and so unfortunately they're done for the year, 24-8. But as you and I were talking earlier, Jackson Ring just never seemed like they could get on a roll this year.
It was a rough half of the second season, or rough second half of the season for Georgetown. They just kind of were on a downslide and were never able to pick themselves back up. It looked like maybe they were going to do it before they got to the conference tourney. Then they lost another. I think they lost their last game of the year. Then they go into the conference tournament. They lose there. And then now the national tournament, lose there. Just kind of had, you know, just kind of lost their footing and fell all the way down.
So most teams be happy with 24-8, but when you won a national championship, five years ago, the national runner-up last year got beat on a last-second bank three-point shot, the buzzer. You know, something you don't settle for. But anyway, congratulations, Coach Chris Briggs. Does a great job. Well, we're talking about Kentucky, and Morehead State's got a basketball coach. He has some Kentucky connections, though.
That's right. Morehead State has, of course, been looking for a new head coach ever since Sean Woods had the whole incident with the law and maybe abuse of players and things. So they had to name an assistant, Preston Spradlin, to be the interim. And throughout the year, they ended up doing pretty well. They only finished, I believe, 16-14 on the season, but finished 10-6 in the Ohio Valley Conference. And that was tied for the second best in-conference record. It even won the other side of the West side of the OVC. The 10-6 record over there would have been good enough to win the West. So they had a great season under Preston Spradlin. They were down to he and one other candidate and saw that they have officially taken off the interim tag, handed Preston Spradlin the job, and I know a lot of Morehead State fans out there are excited. I also saw a Morehead State signee for this coming class who was on Twitter and responded to that tweet by Morehead State and was very excited about that as well. So I think it was a great hire for Morehead State, and we wish all the luck in the world to Coach Preston Spradlin.
Yes, our John Calipari actually tweeted out congratulations to him. I believe Preston served some on his staff there, too. So got some Kentucky flavor there, too. And of course, Matthew Mitchell was cut his teeth as the Morehead State head coach and then came back to Kentucky after being an assistant at Kentucky. So I'm not saying Preston Spradlin's going to be replacing John Calipari in 4 years, but I'm just saying it's a nice opportunity for a stepping stone to see what he can do. Well, we had some state tournament action, and our 11th region team, the local team, Scott County, number one, took on number two, Bowling Green. Yeah, I have it that right. Is that the right order? Did I get it backwards again?
No. You got it right that time. The only problem being, I know Bowling Green won, but I couldn't tell you the score. I know Scott County only scored 4 points, I believe, in that fourth quarter, and Bowling Green went on to get the win. It's an interesting debate that was sparked, especially from that game, about whether the state tournament should be seeded or not. Of course, they do blind region draws, so you ended up having the number one team in the state playing the number two team in the state in the quarterfinals, just the second game for each team of that state tournament. I'm on the side. I think they should seed it so that they, for the betterment of, you know, I guess the quality of games they're putting out there later in the tournament. It might encourage more people to come if your state final is between the top two teams in the tournament. You, however, took the other side of that argument.
Yeah, I did. I think I like the way it does because it just randomly schedules things. And what I mean by that is, yes, I know they played early, the number one ranked and two ranked team in the Friday parts of the tournament, but at the end of the day, you know, hey, that winds up that now it's going to give some other teams a chance to do that. Bowling Green, you know, winds up winning 68-53, but I believe it was like a 2 or 3 point game at halftime, and our own Bruce Edwards, who lives in Scott County and our station manager out here, said that I think that Georgetown got outscored, or Scott County, which is in Georgetown, got outscored 17-4 in the fourth quarter, just couldn't buy a basket, so they're still Louisville teams left in the tournament, and plus this does knock out one of the big boys, and I just like the random chance, seeing how they do. You never know. It happened this year that did happen, but there's a lot of times that these big matchups don't happen till Saturday when it's the semifinals, so I kind of like the way they still do it, but I understand what you're saying, but I'm happy with the way they've done it because, you know, I don't know that it would help to do it the other way, and then you get into people's opinions with the seedings on how, you know, trying to decide which region's better.
Well, yeah, and I think that that's a good opportunity for the regions to be able to prove that, hey, maybe you all should give more, more respect to our regions if it was seeded and they went and beat a big team. I also think that they've seen at least enough of a decline in attendance that they now put a curtain up in the upper deck at Rupp Arena, and maybe having the seeded games, I don't know why, but maybe for some reason it could draw more people. I just think at least it's something they should look at, and I don't know if they will or not. They've done it one way for a really long time, and we'll just see if it'll ever change or not.
I'll tell you one thing. I really think it hurts them is, you know, I know they played it this way forever, but you're playing it in the opening week of the NCAA tournament, man, Thursday and Friday games. I mean, I had an opportunity to have tickets last night, and I just turned them down because, I mean, yeah, I wanted to watch the NCAA tournament.
And then add in the fact that tonight they're going to have some games during Kentucky's game. Well, they'll have one game, but people probably won't even want to go out there for the game before that because they'll want to make sure that they're watching who Kentucky might play in the next round. But like you said, yeah, I think there's a lot of different things they could look at in order to try to increase attendance, but they've liked staying with the way that things are, and I guess so far it's worked out well enough for them the last 100 years or however long they've been doing it.
I think it is 100th anniversary possibly of the state tournament for men's basketball.
All right, well, let's talk about, you know, there's other games going on, obviously, besides Kentucky. A game I'd like to see is that Wichita State-Dayton one.
I think that game is going to be one that a lot of Kentucky fans will pay attention to. Tips off at 7 p.m. right before Kentucky. I believe it'll be on CBS, but I honestly could not tell you what channel it'll be on. But keep your eye out for that one, because whoever wins that game, of course, would be waiting for Kentucky in the second round. And Wichita State, although they are the 10 seed, is actually favored in this game on lines, and so it'll be one to watch for sure. Archie Miller and Dayton have done pretty interesting things in the NCAA tournament in past years.
Dayton and Wichita State will be on CBS.
Okay, I was right. So then you don't even have to turn the channel when Kentucky and Northern Kentucky come on about 9:50 or so.
Duke versus Troy is on TBS. Little interesting side note, Troy's head coach is from Kentucky, Phil Cunningham.
So they have two coaches, because you have Neil Brown also, who has Kentucky ties.
Absolutely. Phil Cunningham, Campbellsville College or University now graduate, served under Rick Stansbury as his associate coach there. And then when Rick, you know, got relieved his duties, I believe Phil may have got the head job there at Troy. And so congratulations to him. So some Kentucky flavor there. Hope that Duke does not beat them up too bad. That'll be on TBS. And then Cincinnati and K-State, I think that could be a good game. That one's going to be on True TV at 7:27 p.m.
I definitely think that Cincinnati Kansas State should be an interesting game. You put those Power 5 teams up against each other this early in the tournament, and some wacky things can happen. And these 11-6 matchups, Greg, have been the 5-12 matchups that we've come to expect upsets from. You now have three 6-11 games that, well, two have been completed, one that's in action. The first two, 11 seeds won. 11 seed Xavier beat Maryland, and 11 seed Southern California beat 6 seed SMU. Now, Rhode Island, who's the 11 seed, has a 10-point lead on 6 seed Creighton with just over 13 minutes left in that game. So you very well should pay attention to that 6-11 game. We could see another 11 seed defeating a 6 seed. How crazy would that be if all the 11 seeds beat all of the 6 seeds in this year's tournament?
It really is. That's what makes it March Madness, baby. And, you know, the thing about Kentucky playing at 9:40 approximately on CBS, well, right at 9:50, 9:50, 9:50, South Carolina Marquette's on TBS. And then UCLA, who Kentucky can meet if they can keep winning, and UCLA wins, plays Kent State on True TV. So, you know, you've got really some games I'd like to see there. So I'm a professional with remote control, so I'll be able to do that, Jackson Williams.
Yeah, and then you got those extra the second-round matchups start tomorrow and are on Sunday as well.
All right. Well, for Action Jacks Rings, I'm Greg Horn. We're not going to do a score prediction since it's Northern Kentucky University. We'll be back Monday with all the wrap-up from the weekend. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday at 5:05 p.m. on Sports Talk.